of Numbers. We are in chapter 9, and we're going to pick up with verse 18. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched, as long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents.
Now we've established the fact that this is symbolizing the Holy Spirit. In other words, this is the type pointing to the Holy Spirit. Now, what's interesting about this, if you read through the Bible, you'll find that it was not only Israel that was aware of the cloud, but other nations always also knew that the presence of God was on them, and it was even talked about. So it put a fear of God in their heart. Do you think about this? You know, to me, other nationalities living in this nation or other nations should know that the body of Christ is different because the Spirit of God leads them. And it should be obvious to them that we're led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. But sadly, in status quo church, there's so much flesh involved that there's no Spirit, and so the church has lost a lot of influence because of that. And the church should be a mighty voice for God without saying a word, just by our lifestyle and the way we, our activities should be so different from the world that they take notice that we're operating by a different spirit. You with me? And I'm telling you, I mean, actually we talked about this recently, a lot of people out there, I'm trying to choose my words here, professing that I'm not comfortable around their spirit. They don't bear witness with their spirit. Mm-hmm. They say the right thing, but in your heart, you know that their actions are not agreeing with their speech. Excuse me, Jesus said it this way: you worship me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. Mm-hmm. And so then that's a vain worship, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, they had something they could naturally see. You could see it with your physical eyes, in other words. Being led by the Spirit, you don't see, but you have an inward witness of God leading you. And this is what I think so many people struggle with. They think that spiritual God is supposed to deal with them naturally. The whole purpose of the new birth is to birth us into the realm of the Spirit, where we have spiritual communication. God's Spirit communicating with our spirit. But if you don't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, then you shut off the means for God communicating with you. He's basically going to use two things: His Word, the written Word, and His Spirit. Now, they can be utilized in different ways. In other words, when I say His Spirit, God can speak through someone by the Spirit, and it's God talking to you. But if you don't recognize the Spirit, you'll think it's a man talking to you. And that's how so many people are, in a church service. They talk about, well, this man said, this man said, this man said. Anybody hear God? Anybody hear what God says? You understand? And we should be listening and looking for God, not with natural eyes. But in the spirit, we should have a spiritual anticipation for the things of God. Then the natural, it's not a distraction. But if you're looking at things through the natural eyes, you'll always be distracted. Mm. And you're not going to see God that way. Be led by the Spirit. That means you got to be in tune with the Spirit. It means you have to know the Spirit. You're not going to know the Spirit without intimate relationship with the Spirit. That means you spend time with Him. And when I say you spend time with Him, this is not corporate. This is alone in your chamber by yourself, just you and Him. Your most intimate time anyone can have will be behind the closed doors, so to speak. And I want to spend time by myself with God. You with me? Mm-hmm. Then, when you step out in a corporate setting, you're not trying to get something to happen. It's already happened in you. You with me?
Verse 19. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed.
Now, note this. You could be at a place for a long period of time or a short period of time at God's lead. You with me? But here's the thing. It doesn't matter if it's long or short. That's not the issue. Is this where God wants me? And then, day or night, God may move you at an unexpected time, at an inconvenient time. You know, when the Lord dealt with me to leave secular work and go into the ministry, I asked the Lord when I was to leave. And He said, be gone by September 1. So I said, okay. And, of course, I turned my resignation in and all that type stuff. And not realizing immediately that that was a holiday. a paid holiday. Okay? But, which is more important, relinquishing a paid holiday or following God, or enjoying a paid holiday or following God. And so to me it was a no-brainer. You understand? And then the Lord takes care of you. Okay? And so some things have been inconvenient. I'm telling you, Saturday. I mean, just in the middle of the afternoon, I get a call, Well, someone, a legitimate need, and it was. Then what you're doing doesn't matter. Ministry is 24/7. And so you need to do what you need to do. See, this is where you have to understand the difference between a servant of God and a slave of God. A servant works for hire. A slave's owned. The servant can say when he wants to work, when he doesn't want to work. The slave is owned, so he's at the beckoning call of the master 24/7. We're bought with a price. You know what that means? You're not your own. We're slaves. Jesus is the master. But too many people aren't getting this message that we're slaves. That means that this body belongs to the Lord. So he can put demands on it when he wants to, whether it's convenient for the flesh or inconvenient. That's irrelevant. Where's the need? When's the need? Day, night, whatever, God moves you. You understand? God moves you. And I can tell you that I've been through places that I couldn't really appreciate the move. but you got that right. But Father knows best. And so what do? You stay with Him. No murmuring, no complaining. That was Israel's downfall. I've resigned to this fact. God is so much smarter than me that I can't even be on the same planet when it comes to mentality. You understand? He's so far advanced. And so there's many things I don't understand. And so often I'll just say, Lord, I believe in you. I don't understand this, and I'll be fair with you. My flesh doesn't really care for it. But I know you make no mistakes. And so I'm going to trust you. God's never failed me. You understand? But that doesn't mean He always takes you through a bed of roses. That doesn't mean everything's glorious. But it'll be right. There's a lot of things I can't explain. I look at Job, but the Lord gave me revelation on Job. And I don't hesitate to say God gave me revelation on Job. Here was a man so sold out to God that God proved the devil wrong with Job. I'll show you that there are people who serve me not for what they can get, but for who I am. Now you have to ask yourself, do I serve God for what I can get or for who God is? Is He a convenient God to me? Is that all I'm looking for? And when it's not convenient, I don't want to worship Him? What did Job say to his wife? And she said, curse God and die.
No.
You talk like one of the foolish women. Do you only take good into the hand of the Lord? Now, Job didn't know the devil was doing all this stuff. But God used him to prove the devil wrong. And you and I have all this information today to where we can realize who our enemy is, that it's not God, that it's the devil. You understand? God didn't do it. You know, every bad thing, people say, God did it, God did it, God did it. But God can prove the devil wrong with you. Think about it. And so, while that's occurring, you can't be murmuring and complaining against God.
Mm-hmm.
And Job didn't murmur and complain against God. He did want to talk to God because he didn't understand things. But when he had the opportunity, he didn't want to talk. I put my hand over my mouth. I've already said too much. I'm not in his league. You understand? And you've got to get to that point to where you realize I'm not an advisor of God. I need to take advice from God. Oh, you the clouds moving tonight? All right, everybody get up, let's go. And so often people, you see what's commonly called moves of God, movements and this type of thing, and people want to count down and stay there forever. But everything that God does is not just to count down on it, it's to take you to a place. So you go from this movement to let that lead you to another, so you never stop growing. And you'll find that each one of these will draw you closer to God. Had Israel stayed submitted to the cloud, so to speak, oh, they followed but not submitted. There's a difference between obedience and submission. Obedience is an act. Submission is an attitude. And we have to keep our attitude right before God. And so we choose whether or not we want to move in His timing and go with the timing of God. Always go with the timing of God. You know, over the years we've talked to a lot of people, and people will come and ask you for advice. I feel like God's called me in the ministry, and what should I do? And so, what's God told you to do? If you feel like He's talking to you to go into ministry, then shouldn't you be able to hear Him tell you what you should do? You know, I've had some of those guys, what Bible college do you think I should go to? I said, did God tell you to go to Bible college? Notice that if God told you, then ask God which one. But if God didn't tell you, you better be cautious, so they may corrupt your mind. Mm-hmm. And get you going in a direction that God doesn't want you to go. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
There's places that God will take you that are temporary places. I know the first church I pastored, I was lying on the floor at the house and just praying and talking to God. And the Spirit of God said, you will interim pastor such and such a church. Well, the church had a pastor. I said, first off, I don't know how. I don't know how to pastor. Just let me be somebody's assistant or something. I don't know how to. But, you know, God didn't play that silly game. He didn't make mistakes. I said, all right, if this is you, then it will happen, because nobody but you and me will know you spoke to me. I won't tell a living soul. I will not in any way try to make this happen. The bottom line is, through a series of events, it happened just like God said it was. I thought the interim was months. I didn't know it was years. And finally, I got smart enough to look up in the dictionary what interim meant, the in-between. And so, for those few years, He had me in that place. I knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that I was in the will of God. I was where I was supposed to be, doing what I was supposed to do. And it ran its course. Now, the transition was not the way I would have chosen, because it was through rejection and people not wanting to follow the Spirit of God. And so the flesh, you know, feels sorry for itself. But the Spirit in you knows, obey God. Then He had something else for me today. And for a season, it was just international traveling. For a season. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you just stop and never travel again, because we have. But your thrust is different. Then the Lord spoke to me about starting the outreach center, which I did not want to do. But I have a fear of God, so we did. And then the New Year's Eve night, when 2000 came in, 1999, right before midnight, the Spirit of God spoke this place, Spirit Training Center, into existence. Well, here again, what do I know about it? You understand? So you have to follow the lead of God. It's good to be dumb as a wall. Then you don't try to do things yourself. You're crying out to God, Lord, help. That's one of the best prayers you'll ever have. Help. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how God will lead you right along paths. And it's in stages. You understand? It's in stages. The outreach center in stages. The training center in stages. Move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. Move with the Spirit of God. You understand? Even in the purchasing of the building. Move with the Spirit of God. We looked at other places. But when I walked in the door of this with the man, actually I was looking to lease it and ended up buying it. When I walked in the door, this is it. This is it. You got to witness on the inside of you. And I've never questioned that since then. You understand? This is where we're supposed to be. Will we always be here? Who knows? If God says move, then you move with the Spirit of God. You don't dig your heels in and say, well, I've done this all my life and I'm not going to change now. Well, how foolish can you be? Go with the cloud. And I've learned this, that God does not just keep you at a place because things are going good. You look at Philip in the 8th chapter of Acts. Here he's having what we would call a great revival in the city of Samaria. I mean, people are being healed, devils are cast out, people are believing on the name of Jesus. And the Spirit said, go to this desert area to minister to one man. And I've heard preachers say, well, you know, we go to where the most people are. Go where God wants you to be, not where the most people are. Go where God wants you to be. God wanted that Ethiopian eunuch saved. And so he sends Philip there. And then Philip had a tremendous experience. He got the Ethiopian saved, and then the Spirit of God just caught him away. He had missed that if he stayed to Samaria. You understand? And so you move with God. Just you don't leave a place because things are not going good. You don't stay at a place because things are going good. You're led by the Spirit. And so you can get comfortable at a place. And I think this is the message God's trying to convey. You know, you can take you to a place of comfort, to a place where there's no water. Now what are we going to do? Murmur against God? Murmur against His leadership? What are you doing taking me over here? This is not comfortable to me. We've got to learn to follow the Spirit and know that Father knows best. He knows what I need. You may know what you want. He knows what you need. And He knows that what you want is not what you need. You with me? All right, I won't belabor that. I will. Unless you have something you want to say there.
No. Verse 22. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord, and at the commandment of the Lord, by the hand of Moses.
Now, I want you to think about this. You've got to get in your imagination, in your thought, the magnitude of setting up and breaking camp.
Mm.
I mean, this is not something you're going to do in an hour.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. So the cloud's there one day, and oh my goodness. I just got set up. A break camp. You follow me? God may have you at a place for just a short period of time. bloom where you planted. You understand? If you're there a day, God wants you there a day, then you bloom there that day. 2 days, a year, whatever. But make sure you follow the lead of the Spirit. Move with a cloud. When you move with a cloud, when you move with the Spirit of God, you're always in the timing of God. Mm-hmm. Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me and He said, the timing of God is as critical as the will of God. You can do what I want you to do in the wrong time and it won't be effective. But when you do the will of God in the timing of God, it'll maximize the potential. And that's what we have to learn how to do. God led them where He wanted them to be at the time He wanted them to be there. Have you ever heard, for such a time as this?
Mm-hmm.
Esther was where she was supposed to be for such a time as this. You understand? Now, if you look at how all that transpired, it doesn't sound real good. Her parents are killed. And her cousin's bringing her up. She's in captivity. All that to get you to be a queen. At the right time to save your people. You understand? We've got to learn not to question the ways of God, but to follow the ways of God. I don't care how smart you are, you're not as smart as you think you are. We learn those things the hard way, you understand? We know that God's wisdom is so far above us that it would behoove us to follow the wisdom of God, the direction of God. Just like the cloud directed the movement, the encampment of the Israelites, the Holy Spirit leads and directs the believer. You understand? But how many believers follow the lead of the Holy Spirit?
Mm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, this is more serious than people think it is. This is not just some story or some history lesson. This is actually instruction that God is giving us on the importance of being led by the Spirit of God. And you can't be led by Him if you don't have Him.
Right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God he came down in cloud on that tabernacle. This tabernacle He lives in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Paul calls it a tabernacle. Read 2 Corinthians 5. It's this tabernacle. Right?
Yeah.
Tent. All it is a dwelling place. The dwelling place of God. Recognize God in you. Recognize the presence of God in you. And just do what God wants to do. You know, before we come out of this class, every time, we're going to pray before we come out here and yield ourselves. Lord, teach us. Right?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Teach us. And teach through us.
Mm-hmm.
But we know you're the teacher. You have to keep that in perspective. And if you'll do that, then you won't get the big head thinking you're somebody you aren't. You understand who the teacher is. He guides us into all truth. He tells us about Jesus. He's a witness of Jesus. He testifies of Jesus. However you want to say it. You with me? So I know who the teacher is. So why wouldn't I want to follow the lead of an all-knowing God? All-knowing. You're not going to catch Him by surprise. You can ask Him any question you want to. He has the answer. I promise you that. I don't. You with me? And I'm not afraid to tell you I don't. But I know who says. And so we want to get your attention on being led by the Spirit of God. Okay? I know I've said a lot in this, but I don't think I can overstate the importance of us following the Spirit, no more than I can overstate the importance of Israel moving when the cloud moved. It's for your benefit.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And we do want you to remember this. In fact, it's going to be a test question. The cloud over the tabernacle of Moses is a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. And so your key phrase there is Holy Spirit. The cloud over the tabernacle of Moses is a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit.
You know, just to show you, right here with Jane, first off, Jane talked to me about she was wanting to retire and come give her attention here rather than in public system. And I said, Jane, you'll know when you're supposed to leave. Don't leave until you get the release. And one day she came in, she said, I know when I'm supposed to leave. I said, all right, follow the Spirit of God. And she did exactly that. Now, these two ladies right here are both educators, okay? But they were directed to leave the education, the secular education, because God had a bigger plan for their lives, right? But the bottom line is you move in the timing of God. Heather didn't start coming here when she heard about the place. It was later on. Timing of God's critical. So they don't want to miss the timing of God. And that's how I look at it, like these trips, you know. Matter of fact, we were just discussing. We have some things that we need to do in Haiti. But I've told Romaine and the others involved that I want to move in God's time. And right now, I don't know when that is, but I don't want my zeal to get ahead of my wisdom. When I go, I want to go with God. You understand? Then it'll be right. It'll be right. Amen. Amen. It'd be powerful too, wouldn't it? Yeah. These ladies know. Just listen to the Spirit of God. Don't jump ship. Even though it may be an uncomfortable place. God had me in a place 2 years. I hated it. I dreaded to go to church. I dreaded to go to church. And I mean, I loved God and I was reading my Bible and studying my Bible, but I just dreaded to go into the place because I knew I wasn't going to be in the presence of God. Now, why would God want you there? He was chiseling on me. You understand? He was working on me. He was teaching me, not from the pulpit. He was teaching me by experience, submission. You submit because it's leadership, not just because they're doing everything like you want them to do it. Yet you do not compromise the standard of God. And there was a couple confrontations in us that I'm not moving. You understand? I'll stay with God. I'll stay submitted, but that doesn't mean I have to obey you. I'll respect the position, but I don't respect stupidity. I don't respect, not, I didn't say that. Sometimes I think things that didn't come out of my mouth. Process it first, okay? No, you respect the position, but that doesn't mean you have to follow the position. You obey God. You with me? Peter and John's a very good example of that. When they're called on the carpet for preaching in the name of Jesus, getting a man healed in the name of Jesus. And what do the religious leaders say today? Don't teach or preach anymore in that name. And Peter said, well, you decide, do we obey God or man? But as for us, we're going to keep teaching and preaching the things that we've experienced. That's my paraphrase. Okay? And that's the way I am. I'm going to keep on teaching and preaching what I know by experience. And if that doesn't meet status quo, then they have a problem. You with me? And I don't mean that with arrogance or a haughty spirit. I mean that you keep your knee bowed to Jesus Christ. He is your head. And He will lead you by the Spirit because He designed it that way.
Amen.
Okay.
I'll tell you this real quick before we move on. That last year, Jane's last year, I was baptized into the Holy Spirit April of her last year.
If Jane had left prematurely, that wouldn't happen.
That whole year, I learned about the Holy Spirit. And so our position where the Lord has us, where the Holy Spirit leads us, it's so important for us to be obedient. Because you just don't know the impact of that obedience. It's hard for us to fathom, but He does.
I'm going to tell you something else interesting. I hope you don't mind me saying this. But when these things transpired, Heather was going to another church. And she asked Jane about coming here, and Jane told her no.
That's exactly right.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the right time.
And that's exactly what she said. It's not the right time. I said, yes, ma'am.
Don't question the timing of God. Leave with the timing of God.
Very good. It's our time.
Wind it up. All right.
Yep, this is it.
This is a good place to stop it. We'll pick back up with chapter 10 in our next session, okay?
He did.
Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and You give us peace. The Lord, we invite You to rise up, let Your enemies be scattered, and those who hate You be before You. Mm-hmm. Amen. You guys have a great weekend, and be led by the Spirit.
Amen.